last week and this week, and in the coming weeks, there are going to be parables put before us as the gospel reading. Sometimes fairly lengthy parables in which Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God and really teaching about what it is to be a human being, what it is to be a creature, what it is to be in relationship with God. Once again, in today's gospel reading, the image is fairly clear. The vineyard, the creation of God, is loved and cared for by God and is entrusted into human hands, entrusted into our hands, that we might work that creation and that we might bring it to fulfillment. It is not given to us as a possession. It does not become mine. It always remains God's. I am to be like the tenant farmer, who clearly brings energy and sweat and work to the vineyard, and clearly is entitled to a share of the harvest. But in the story, the tenants become greedy. They want it all. They do not want to recognize the owner of the vineyard. They are unwilling to accept the fact that it's not theirs. And so they reject those who come to collect the produce at harvest time. They beat up one of them, one of the servants. They kill another one. They stone a third. And they treat the following group of servants in the same way. And they even treat the heir, the son of the landowner. They say, here comes the heir, the one who will inherit. Let us kill him and then all will be ours. Each of us learned very early in our religious education that as human beings, we carry within ourselves a woundedness. And that woundedness is the effect of original sin. That there is something within the human person that is not in sync with the will of God. And that part of growing in grace, part of growing as a disciple of Jesus, part of living a life of faith, is to bring ourselves more clearly into relationship with God. But that wound is a selfishness. That wound is a disposition to think first of myself and only next of my neighbor or of God. The wound is the wound that allows me to think it's mine when it really isn't. The wound is the wound of greed, selfishness. Well, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, you and I have been immersed in a powerful series of events that have shaken us as a people, as a society, around the strength and the vitality of our economy. And not only shaken us, but has had repercussions in the economies of Europe and the economies of the Far East. When you have a global society that easily moves from one continent to another, both the success and the crisis does. Now, over the past two or three weeks, as this story has unfolded, there's been a lot of finger-pointing, a lot of blaming. And clearly there are people who played stronger roles in this story than others. But as Rabbi Abraham Heschel used to say about the life of a human community and the tragedy within a human community, he said, "There may be some who are guilty, but all of us are responsible." We're seeking for ways in which we can stabilize a falling economy, ways in which we can provide the economic resources that are necessary to carry on day-to-day operations. We're seeking to find ways of infusing into the economy the kind of revenue that is necessary for the markets to continue to operate, so that businesses can continue to operate, so that people can continue to have jobs, so that homeowners can continue to live in their homes. We're seeking to do that, but that's just the first step. That's only the first step. Much, much more is needed. And maybe, just maybe, the crisis we are in is truly an opportunity. An opportunity for us to ask some very serious questions about the morality of an economic system. Economic principles are moral principles. Budgets are moral documents. It's in the use of the goods of the earth, it's in the use of the resources that we have, and in the priorities that we set, that our self-understanding and our relationship to our neighbor is acted out. What we have been given is not ours. It is ours to use. It is ours to cultivate. And it is ours to hand back. We know that in our heads, but there's that faultedness inside of us. There's that human selfishness that allows us to forget that basic principle and to go for whatever I want, to go for whatever I can get. In the document that will be arriving at your home on Monday, the document Faithful Citizenship, the principles of the common good are laid out. That when a society acts, it must act for the good of all, not the few. And that the measure of the good society is not how some few prosper, but how all are invited to prosper. In the early 1930s, when we were racked by the Great Depression, there were small towns in the state of Utah which had a very simple and practical way that they addressed the issue. So successful was that, that Franklin Roosevelt sent people to those towns to find out exactly how it worked, as he sought to find a way to remedy the economic collapse that had occurred. Well, those small Utah towns, they were only a few hundred or maybe as much as 1,000 people. Almost all of them were Mormon. And in those small towns, those communities made a pact with each other. Every family decided that on every Sunday, they would bring 10% of their wages or 10% of their produce when they came to church. And they would place that there in the church. And the local church community then became responsible for that. And the purpose of that gift, if you will, that returning to the owner of the vineyard, was that any member of that community who was in trouble was to be cared for. That there was no one who was to be left hungry. There is no one who is to be left without clothing. There was no one who was to be left without a roof over their head. There was no one who was allowed to be sick and unable to receive medical care. There was no one within those 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people who were to fall through the cracks. It was very simple. It clearly was a citizenry that looked to the common good, the good of all, recognizing that any one of us could be in need on any given day, and that a very simple structure needed to be created whereby that common good might be served. Well, that's a wonderful image. It's a wonderful image of stewardship. It's a wonderful image of tending the vineyard. It's a wonderful image of recognizing it's not mine. It's a wonderful image of giving back to the owner of the vineyard a share of the produce at harvest time. For in the story, that's all the owner asked for, was a share, the owner's part. There was no begrudging of the tenant that he or she was entitled to a reward for the work that they had placed in the land. As we pray today, as we bring ourselves to the table of the Lord, as we're nurtured and nourished today, we pray that we might be good stewards. We might be good tenant farmers. We might always recognize who it is who is Lord of creation, and that we might truly be ready and willing to return to the Lord the portion that is His, and to use for ourselves, in as responsible way as possible, the fruit of the earth that is ours.